every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101, Recovery 101, Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 doesn't speak for anybody.
Nobody?
Not even ourselves.
You don't speak for us?
We
got to speak for somebody.
I'll speak for Mark. Mark will speak for Shelley. Shelley will speak for me.
I thought.
Well, there you go.
that'll cover that. Welcome to Recovery
101. Bruce, that was actually the best thing you said in months.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll speak for myself then. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley.
And Mark.
I was going to say sweet.
I know you were.
You were going to say dude.
Dude.
So we may have fixed our little recording problem that we had. And it may have been me. I don't remember changing any of the default savings, but we'll see what happens after this show. This really big shoe. How was your day?
As a matter of fact, people already know by now whether we fixed it or not.
Yeah, they probably do. Mark?
Yes.
How was your day?
My day was good. My whole weekend's been interesting. My girlfriend decided she wanted a kitten.
We have four. You could have had one.
She couldn't decide what kind of kitten she wanted. We are now foster parents to 2 4-week-old kittens.
4 weeks? That's a little young.
Yeah, we're foster parents. We're taking care of them until they're ready to be adopted out.
Now,
where is the mom? Because 4 weeks old, they're not even weaned yet. Usually you don't give away kittens till they're 8 weeks old.
Yeah, no. Well, they show up. This time of year, they show up at animal shelters.
Are you using like a...
eyedropper to
an
feed
eyedropper
them?
They actually had just gotten done bottle feeding them. We're the ones converting them over to solid food right now.
Bottle feeding.
Yikes.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's actually kind of fun, although the first day, you know, they've lived their entire 4 weeks in a cage, and now they have a room to run around in, so.
Are they getting wet food?
They're getting wet food and dry food. And they're eating both nicely, thank you.
Now let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Are they running around like crazy?
First day, ran around like crazy. Second day, got a little better.
He goes. Second day, little Jack Daniels in with the wet food.
Right, that's right.
Settled they mellowed right out.
Down. Today, Debbie and the two cats took a 3-hour nap on the middle of the bed. So
yeah,
they have slowed down.
You know what you do with dogs? When dogs are a little too running around, you give them doggy downers.
That's right.
When they're, you know, you just poke them with the stick every once in a while, make sure they're okay.
Yep.
And if you need them to get up, you give them
puppy uppers. That's it.
The fun thing is going to be when those kittens discover how to climb up your leg.
Well, they've already discovered how to climb up the screen.
Yes, love to go vertical.
Yeah.
Little kittens do.
Because what they haven't figured out is how to disjoint themselves
once they start.
They can only go up. So I thought about putting a bell at the top so when they ring the bell, we'll go get them down.
we went to the beach.
Yeah, how was the beach?
I had a...
It was rocks.
Here's what's weird. I had a timeshare on, like, right on the beach, right across the street. This little street from where we are is the sand for the beach. Had it from Thursday to Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Went Saturday night and Sunday night.
Oh.
Came home. But it was an interesting beach.
Oceanside?
It was sand. Yeah, sand all the way up, and then suddenly nothing
rocks.
But rocks.
Yeah, Oceanside's all rocks.
My daughter goes down, gets the beach house for a few days, walks down to the beach, finds an awesome conch shell, like a regular, like the kind of shell you would see like on a tropical beach, the kind of shell that you will never find in an L.A. beach, because in L.A., you're lucky to find a piece of a shell.
Yeah.
And this is a full-on, about a handful-size conch shell. It's going to now go in my aquarium at the store.
Okay.
After I... soak it for a while to get the salt water off. You know what that means?
What's that mean?
Well, that means it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. That was awesome Foley skills.
It was.
Okay.
Great dudes, buddy.
We have, oh, my knees. We have shout outs to Fran, Deborah, Bill, Brian.
Who's Brian?
Phil. In fact, Brian was working overtime.
Where's Katie Uckman?
I don't know. I've got to email her.
She better not have.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I got an email from her a couple weeks ago, but okay. I got to email her again.
You know, you quit going to meetings, start cutting back on your recovery 101. Those are things that lead to relapse.
Number one reason people relapse, cutting back on recovery 101 shows.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
I'm not sure whether to say that this is in Russia or this is in the U.S., but at any rate.
Well, that's a pretty big.
Yeah, I know. But, well, it sort of happened between the two, sort of. Well, okay. The president, Vladimir Putin.
Name.
He is denying allegations that he stole New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring. The ring is actually on display in the Kremlin.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
So, and then Putin said, but he would buy Kraft another ring, like as a gift.
Wait.
Give it.
How did it get to the Kremlin?
Yeah, okay.
So what happened was...
Is there vodka involved?
No. In 2005, the New England Patriots owner met the Russian president.
He's quite the sleight of hand, that Putin guy.
And Putin said that, wow, I could kill someone with that ring. It's so big. And Kraft took the ring off to show it to him, and he was looking at it. And then when Kraft put his hand out to take the ring back, Putin put it in his pocket, and his bodyguards surrounded him, and he walked away.
So he stole the ring.
So he stole the ring. But he's saying he didn't. He's saying that it was a gesture of goodwill from the U.S. to Russia. But
we don't like them that much.
What Kraft is saying is that what happened was he took the ring, and then Kraft appealed to the government, our government, to try to get it back for him. Mm-hmm. And Obama told him he should just forget about it and treat it as a gift to the Russian people. So that we didn't.
So Obama did his typical.
So he didn't.
Super Bowl ring.
So we didn't cause an international incident. That's what he said.
My biggest score ever from when I was a kid and going through all my high school and college training, becoming a professional coach, I get a Super Bowl ring and I should just hand it over to someone.
No, he's not the coach. He's the owner.
Or the owner. Well, yeah. You know, either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he.
Nuke him.
So he said
turn
he would
Moscow
like,
into a piece of glass.
He said he would like his ring back, but Putin is saying he's not going to give it back. He'll just buy him something else. I think that's pretty crummy.
Keep the ring, send back Snowden.
I thought Snowden was like somewhere that he was like going to Ecuador or something like that.
That would make sense.
Which one did Hugo Chavez just be in charge of?
Venezuela? Yeah.
They offered him asylum, but he has no travel documents because the U.S. revoked his passport.
This is going to end up being like Where's Waldo, because he's going to get tired of sitting in an airport in Russia pretty soon.
He's probably sitting in the finest hotels in Russia right now.
I just want some black ops guy to find him.
He actually, you know what? He's probably not sitting in a gray hotel, because I think that's a big thing. Even Putin knows that's a big thing.
According to Russia, he's sitting in the airport and has not yet gone through customs.
Right. He's stuck.
What was that movie? It had Tom Hanks
Terminal.
In it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was living in the airport for like forever.
Yeah.
We're
playing it out.
What?
We're playing that out now.
Yes, we are. In Cleveland, we have our aww moment of the day, sent to us by, I think, Donald, actually, maybe.
We'll be the judge of that.
In Cleveland, an orphaned 1-week-old pit bull puppy was dropped at the Animal Protective League, but it was only
the
a
appeal?
Week. Yes, it was only a week old. It really couldn't latch onto the bottle. They weren't sure how they were going to feed this tiny, tiny dog. So, but they had a cat who had just had kittens, so they stuck the dog in with the cat, and now the cat thinks the dog is its kitten.
Oh.
So we got dogs kissing cats.
Yes, but it's going to get really interesting in about a month when the pit bull puppy is like four times the size of the cats.
Yeah.
So they said they're going to have to come up with another feeding idea.
Okay.
Well, at a month, I think he could go from a bottle.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh! This was in... Oh, Albany, New York. Tiffany Evans, 20 years old. She is a stripper. She got out of work early on Friday. She got
out of clothes?
Well, she was apparently very...
Nothing to wear.
She got out of work early. She got in her car, started to drive home. She ran a red light and was pulled over. And I'm quoting the detective on duty who said, or police officer on duty, John M. Delaney, who said, since she was just coming from work at the local strip club, she did not have enough clothing on to conceal the illegal narcotic, and 47 bags of heroin fell easily to the pavement.
Oh, whoops. Wow. 47 bags. You got to wonder where she was trying to stash those.
Yeah, and she was too scantily clad for them to stay concealed.
Whoops.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, now, interesting enough,
I've seen a lot of strippers leave work. They're usually all pretty fully clothed.
Usually.
Well, it's been really hot the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Okay. I guess we should hang outside strip clubs more.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, she was only given a $1,000 bail. Usually for that amount of
which
drugs.
Which she had made in tips that night.
Yeah. Usually for that amount of drugs, you'd think the bail would be higher, but no.
She's like, I don't even have to call a bail bondsman.
You take that in dollars?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
I had a waitress one time come to my store, bought a $700 bed in ones and fives. Dude, you would have thought I had $1 million. I had these stacks of ones all over the desk.
I remember.
Put them in a bag.
I remember the one who brought all the change that one time.
Oh, yeah.
The vending machine person.
Rolls of quarters and stuff.
Okay, what I'm going to do is... Oh, okay, I found the article for that we need later. Okay. But this one, okay, Donald sent this thing, and now it's not even a story. It was a link to a music video on YouTube, and I guess if you typed in just like, music video, choose your own beer, or how many beers, or the band, the drunk band, or some, you know, what happens is...
I'll find it.
Yes, you'll find it. What happens is you click to play the music video and it starts playing. And up at the top, there are four buttons. One says 0 beers, one says 20 beers, one says 40 beers, one says 60, one says 80.
I'm on the 80.
You get to pick how drunk the band is while they're playing the song.
That's awesome.
And when you pick, like, in mid-song, because I played with it for a while this afternoon, when you're in mid-song, if you change how many beers, it doesn't start the song over. It just suddenly shifts into that same part right where you are, them all drunk. I don't know how they would do something like that, but it was, and you can go back and forth.
I got to do it.
It is totally hilarious.
You know that everyone listening to the show later on, that thing's going to start getting hits like crazy. It probably already is.
Oh, I think
it's
so.
It's got to be viral.
Have you seen the YouTube video about the bear riding the bicycle in the circus?
No.
You've seen videos I haven't on YouTube? That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. I have not.
He was sick. I've
seen videos of cats attacking bears. They don't know how small they are.
This one is a bear is riding a bicycle around the outside of the ring. Monkeys are riding bicycles around the inside of the ring. One of the monkeys loses control, runs into the bear. Bear gets pissed.
Uh-oh.
Does not turn out well for the monkey.
Oh, my God.
Does the monkey get punted?
No, the monkey gets eaten.
Oh, okay. I don't want to see that one. I'm good without that.
Bruce will be on that 5 minutes after the show's over.
Okay. In St. George's, Grenada. The lovely island.
Are we invading?
Huh?
Are we invading?
No,
we already
won.
Oh.
It's kind of, at first it's kind of a non-story, but it's the last line of the story that made me go, huh?
Actually, we're surrendering to them. We don't want to create an international incident.
Yes, God forbid.
Legislators. Do they have a Super Bowl ring?
Yeah. Legislators in Grenada have, they've voted to approve a new law that would make it a crime to offend anyone on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, Wow, what is there left to do?
Everyone's going to go to jail.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a new electronics crimes bill.
They built a new prison?
They passed it last Friday. It imposes penalties on online activities like in electronic stalking and identity theft as well. Basically, this bill is like the first of its kind in the world. Anyone in Grenada can go to the police and file a complaint about something they saw on Facebook or Twitter that offended them.
Oh, my God.
The police are then going to investigate and determine whether or not the message was offensive. If the person who posted it was also from Grenada, they could face a $37,000 fine or 3 years in prison found to be offensive, if a judge thinks it's offensive. Do you know how many that is going to clog? They're not going to be able to try anybody for the next 5 years because the entire court system is going to be clogged up with people bitching about what somebody said about so and so.
God bless our First Amendment.
Well, I saw
really.
I saw a Facebook post, and it showed a bunch of kids talking to Obama, and apparently they say, "Hey, my dad says that the NSA is going to be looking at all our Facebook posts," and Obama says, "Yeah, well, he's not really your dad."
The thing I found really interesting, other than the fact that this is totally ridiculous legislation, is that the bill, and I'm quoting here, also makes it a crime to distribute child pornography.
Well, that's
this is a new law? They had to just enact this now? So, like, up until now, you could, like, fling child porn all over the internet in Grenada?
And it was okay?
And it was perfectly all right.
Well,
but if you piss anyone off on Facebook, you're getting a $37,000 fine.
Yeah. Apparently.
Wow. You know what? Where exactly is Grenada? Because I don't even remember.
South of here.
Yes. Somewhere.
It's an island, right?
Yeah.
Out there.
Wow.
Are you leaving to go to eat, Connor? Is that why you're making the nom-nom face?
Beneath the
pale okay, adios. Do you need money?
No. What kind of a question is that? You notice when you said, "Are you going to eat?" and he turned around to start walking, then you said, "Do you need money?" He goes, "Well, sure." Which means he's already got money, but now he would like to use our money.
Okay, well, and that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
It is. You weren't going to do the other article?
Uh-oh. Oh, I was saving it for the...
Oh, you saved it for the topic?
Okay. Yeah, are we doing that for the topic?
Yeah,
I was just going to scroll it up so you can see it.
Okay, perfect.
That's the end of the boozy news.
And the news not fit for booze.
Bruce could not multitask there.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
So, we have a topic, shall we?
Yeah. You have it on your thingy there. It's on the...
Check your thingy, Bruce.
Yes, the thingy. I scrolled it up for you so that you could see it. But you can't read it word for word because it's a copyrighted article.
Well, you've already read it. Can you give us, like, the...
Okay, with Gabrielle somebody or other.
Glazer.
I can't read that far. Who?
Gabrielle
Glazer. Glazer.
Okay, she wrote a book. Okay, it's not Moms Who Need Wine. I can see that. What's the book called again?
Facebook groups like Moms Who Need Wine. Her new, her best kept secret: why women drink and how they can regain control.
Right. She wrote a book about that.
Managing control.
She says that she is a moderate drinker now, but that she found herself drinking more when her children started growing up because she had stress and things. And
children will do that to you.
Children do that to you. So she found herself drinking more, and then she looked around one day and discovered that she knew lots of women that were drinking more, and it seems to be a modern phenomenon that women are drinking more than their predecessors did. And she wanted to do some research to find out why that would be. She found that men and women drink for different reasons. You know, that's a no-brainer. We already knew that.
Yep.
And then she goes into why AA. She's not real supportive of 12-step programs. I kind of see one of her points where she says in the article that, you know, when she had sinus infections, and she's had them for years and years and years, and the treatments for sinus infections now are not the same as they were then. They've changed and they've gotten better. And the inference is that, you know, treatments for addiction and recovery, if you go by the 12-step model, have not changed. And maybe that's a problem. And there was something – what else was there?
Well, there was one of the points she brought up was about going to AA meetings and having people there who are there on court cards. And specifically about a woman who met a guy and she was in treatment and he was at a meeting. She met him at a meeting that they took her to as part of the treatment program. And he was there on a court card and she met him and she dated him and he murdered her.
Right.
And it turned out he had a previous history of being a violent offender. But since AA is an anonymous program, newcomers who come in did not necessarily know about that person. And their assumption was, because in 12-step programs we say you can't do it alone, you need to do it together and be part of the group, and everybody's here to help. But obviously everybody's not there to help.
Right.
And her question was, well, she kind of says, she says, and it's reached a point with 12-step programs where they actually have a 13th step, which everybody jokes about. Which is
we don't really have a 13th step.
No, we don't. But everybody knows what the 13th step is,
right?
And you know, and is that preying on newcomers? Because that's what it is.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And as long as it's condoned within the program,
is none of these people saying no relationships in the first year? Because I hear that all the time at meetings. I hear that on a pretty regular basis. You shouldn't even be getting in relationships. So here's a person who's jumping into a relationship when they're new, and they shouldn't be doing that anyway.
Because I hear getting as many relationships as you can your first year, because pain is a great motivator.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
But most people would say that the, you know, it doesn't say it anywhere in the readings, but most people would say don't get any relationships.
But at the same time, we see many, many people with some time who prey on newcomers.
Yes.
And we don't do anything to stop it. We might say, what the heck are you doing? Or stuff, but we don't do anything to step up in a meeting if we see it and tell somebody to knock it off in front of people.
Well, she had an interesting thing she said in here too, where she was watching a woman take a 1-year chip, and the woman said, "There's nothing I'd rather be doing than sitting in New Orleans with a bottle of rum with my friends."
Yeah.
And then how another woman had said she had been sober 26 years and she was pissed off that her family had been drinking wine at Christmas. And she's like, "How does this work for anyone?" And I'm thinking, 26 years and someone's pissed that their family's drinking wine at Christmas. I'm like, is that lack of program or what? I mean, 26 years.
That's a long time to be
miserable.
And they're
mad at people for drinking wine
at Christmas.
That's a long-term
resentment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
I'm guessing
really?
That's not the first Christmas you've been to where they're drinking wine.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you got 26 years. I would think, God, that wouldn't even bother me. I mean, we go to karaoke at bars, you know what I mean?
Well, and the thing that she said in the article about the 13th stepping thing, she said that an AA knows this happens and they could do something about it,
but
they choose not to. They choose to turn away from that. And she thinks that AA as a group could. What the heck are they supposed to do? There's so many groups. Well, how are they supposed to police that? They can't.
I got more of the idea that the fact that people who come in on court cards, are they entitled to the same anonymity as people who come in to AA and AOACA, GAPA, as a voluntary program? who are coming and trying to get help, do the people on court cards deserve the same complete anonymity if there's an issue with them? That, you know, that as they do, judges just, you know, they throw people into the 12-step system. And is the 12-step system best served if you've got somebody who's a predator or who has a violent history and they're being ordered to go to these meetings? Shouldn't the people in these meetings know who those people are?
Possibly. I mean, you can look these people up on Megan's list or whatever. I mean,
yeah, but how many people are, you know, first of all.
And it wouldn't occur to you to look up people on Megan's list.
Yeah, and
list.
If you get a court card, usually it says Bill M.
Right.
You're probably not going to be able to look him up on a predator list anyway.
Well, the only way to fix that problem is to stop signing court cards, because then the courts won't send them to us. I have never been a big fan of the mandatory court card thing. When I sign court cards, I sign them, you know, during the first part of the meeting, I throw them back in the basket. I am not an agent of the court. If they want to leave the meeting, I don't really care.
Tell me something. What do you sign on there?
Just the name of the meeting and my first name.
And what do you sign?
Name of the meeting and my first name.
Anybody ever call you to check to see if you signed a court card?
No.
They can't. Me, I don't either. Put my phone number on there.
So the whole freaking world, you know, it's like, take your court card, put 12 signatures on it with 4 different colors of ink, and move on. You know,
right? And how is it that people haven't figured this out? Because
they have tons of people have figured
it
out.
I'm sure somebody has. But we get people in there that have their court card signed by me every week.
People come in who we know we've signed their court cards, and they lost their court card, and they bring a brand new fresh one, and we sit and sign it for them.
I wonder how many people listening to the show right now who are on court cards wondering if AA is for them. Go. Really? Recovery 101 said I could sign my own card in 4 different colors of ink. Next thing you know, we're going to get a call from the court going, did you broadcast that's okay?
Yes, we did. Now quit sending them.
I did not say it was okay. What I said was I didn't think court cards themselves were okay, because we're not supposed to be affiliated with anybody. And when we allow the court card signing to go on, we are, by inference, aligning ourselves with the courts. That's an outside agency.
Mail me your court card and $20. I'll send you back a full court card.
See, I'm not opposed to court cards. I'm not.
What?
But I get where the premise of this is, you know, you get people that are violent offenders and stuff. They're sent by the courts. People in the meetings don't know.
Right.
You know, you go to, and it doesn't have to be a man-woman thing. You go to take a guy out to coffee, have him beat the crap out of you and steal all your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be no way to know. Now, I've got to say, this is an extreme example, because I've been going to meetings for, you know, off and on for 30 years. I've never heard of that happening, at least around here.
I was at a meeting.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
I was at a meeting beginning of this year, and there was a guy coming. I've shared about this on the program. He was there on a court card. He was sent. He had to go to a required number of meetings. He was a drug dealer. He was making sure every freaking newcomer had his number and knew if they wanted to score, he was the guy to call. He was trolling for customers.
Mm.
Well, and part of the responsibility for this, I mean, she says, well, AA could do something about that, but the World Services, really? There's no mechanism for them to do something about this. We're talking about tens of thousands of meetings. They can't police them.
Well, I think that at some point, a major lawsuit is going to get them there. It's really funny what judges find you to be liable for.
I think it would be a really difficult case to make, because from the gate, the name of the program is Narcotics Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. The biggest things in all the steps is anonymity. We've talked about anonymity many times. So it's hard to bring a case against a group where they say, we're anonymous from the gate. We don't even talk about our last names normally.
But then we sit around in readings and talk about, you know, helping people within the group and the sharings about everybody helping each other and, you know, align yourself with the group, get rid of your old friends, make your friends in the program. So people come in feeling they should trust the people in the program. And there's a lot of people in these rooms. I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I'm not,
I've been around
several right now.
But I've been around. What about the newcomer comes in and you say, grab onto this program with, like a drowning man grabs a life preserver?
But it says program. It doesn't say people.
Women stick with the women. Men stick with the men.
But the people are the program.
I know, because then that's what I'm. What I was saying before is that part of this responsibility falls on us as sponsors, because one of the first things I tell women that I get is stay away from the guys. Don't do, you know, don't do this.
Hook up with someone
about,
with time.
Yeah, I make sure that they know about the whole grab ass thing that goes on. But a lot of sponsors don't do that.
But how do what do we do about the grab ass thing that's going on? Where's that just kind of?
Well, the thing is, if I'm speaking specifically about women, if more female sponsors told their sponsees, this is what's going on, this guy is really not, it has your best interest at heart, he's really just trying to have sex with you, blah, blah, blah. If we were honest with our sponsees and really educated them, if all of us did that, there wouldn't be as much grab ass because the women wouldn't be participating in it. Because they do.
Well, and you got to remember, you get a lot of women that come in to the program, their life is in a shambles, the husband's left them, boy meets girl on AA campus, oh, this guy's giving me attention. You know, because there's, I'm not saying that all women are like this, but there's women that they haven't had any grab ass in a long time, and they're like, oh my God, someone finds me attractive.
Because you have most of your teeth.
Then you get the whole, you know, relationship in the first year thing again. See, the thing for me is, this woman happened to be in the program who hooked up with this guy that was a violent offender.
She was in treatment.
Right.
And they took her to an outside meeting, and he was going to the outside meeting.
But see, to play devil's advocate a little, mm-hmm. say you have a guy who was a violent offender in the past. The guy may also be going to anger management and other things. I mean, you can't just blanket coat that everyone, you know, that everyone's going to continue to be a violent offender. Because
you should at least know who they are.
Shouldn't it be the court's responsibility if they know this guy is has a history of domestic uh-huh. violence? Shouldn't they know better than to send him into areas where there's an organization where there are women that are vulnerable?
That's a valid question.
How about this? Doesn't eliminate guys from court cards. But if you're a violent offender guy or you've had issues like that, you only can have your meeting signed at stag meetings. That's it. You can't even go to meetings where there's women. You got to go to stag meetings. That's it. You got to get your card signed at men's stag meetings only.
Well, but then if we put conditions on it like that, then we're getting deeper into affiliation.
We wouldn't be putting the condition on it. The court would be putting the condition.
Oh, no.
We've done several shows lately about the problems with the court system and the kinds of programs they're sending.
Like you get a court card that comes back with a woman's signature as the secretary? No. You can't do that.
But how would they know? There's no way to police that either.
Who's going to read every court card? They don't.
Yeah, they don't. They just see all the ink and they go, okay. I mean,
I actually had a court card after I got sober from a pending case. And I went, and I was going to a lot of meetings, doing the 90 meetings in 90 days. I'd take the court up there completely filled out, and they're like, the card? And they'd be like, we can't accept this many meetings. I said, it doesn't matter if you can accept them all. I'm handing you a card. You take as many as you want off it. And there were guys in the meeting like, dude, can you get some signed for me? I'm like, no.
So, well, the way I choose not to participate in it is by letting them have their cards back at the break. If they choose to stay, great. I'm not a member of the court system. I'm not going to police your meetings.
But that, you know, in the discussion that we're having, that wouldn't stop someone from meet. Matter of fact, that lets them go outside and meet more chicks.
No, it lets them leave if they want to.
Right.
I've always had kind of a moral issue with several things that go on in the program that I can do nothing about, and court cards is one of them. When you, quite apart from the fact that you've got people that put lawsuits that try to sue the government for sending them to AA, even though it's not a religious program, when a lot of meetings say the Lord's Prayer at the end of the meeting and they have objections to that. So is that okay to send them to those
meetings?
But
you're not required to participate in that.
I know, but there have been several lawsuits.
When you form a circle and join hands with everybody.
I've seen people walk out.
Yeah, so have I.
Yeah, I mean, they're not required to do that.
You're not required to, but at the same time, that brings us up in court. That brings the 12-step groups up in court. Do we want to be there? I don't think so.
See, as a secretary, I also refuse to sign court cards till the meeting is actually over.
Well,
I sign them at the break. I don't sign them after the 7th. I won't sign court cards till the meeting's over, because as soon as you sign them,
They leave.
People come up and grab their court card and they're out the door.
That's kind of what I want, though, because then that means that the people that are really interested in their recovery are the ones that are staying. So we get rid of the chaff.
Let me throw something else in the mix. So we have the thing, a woman says violent offenders. Of the bazillions of people that go to meetings on court cards versus the people that have the single drunk driving or the second drunk driving, I would think that there are vastly, you know, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times the amount of people coming in that are coming in because they've got a drunk driving that could probably use to hear some meetings and use to get the seed planted compared to the amount of people that would come in.
I know several people who came in on a court card that have stuck around and they've got some time, you know.
Well, and that's what I mean because, you know, certainly what happened to this woman is tragic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that the incidences of that are, you know, like, you know, the one guy that came in looking for dealer people. I myself have never seen that in almost 30 years of going, you know, 23 years sober, but 30 years of going to meetings. I haven't seen that. And I've been at thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, but I've seen crap loads of people with regular court cards and a number of them that have stayed, like lots of them that have stayed.
We suggested to the guy that he go find someplace else to go.
Yeah, go find an NA meeting.
Yeah.
What about
see what
the,
they do.
Yeah.
What about the guys, there have been a couple at the local club that we knew preyed on children. Are we making sure that all the newcomers that have kids that may bring one with them know about these people?
I'm not even sure who we're talking about.
Yeah, well, can you? But can
you? Don't
can
remember, you were the one who told me about one of the guys.
But can you? How can you know for sure that every newcomer will be told?
That's what I'm saying. So we know there's a known predator hanging out at a club where children sometimes go. Mm-hmm.
But do we need to change at least our preamble or something at the beginning of the meetings to have people be more aware? And does that make them tend to not want to grasp onto the program and hang on with the veracity you need to in order to stick around?
Well, and that's part of what she was saying is, you know, her cure for her sinus congestion has changed, and yet the treatment for recovery is essentially the 12-step program, and it still hasn't changed, and it's been 75 years.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's losing efficacy?
Hasn't for me.
Right, it hasn't for you, but...
But, yeah, it does.
Well, we had a situation where we talked about not that long ago where you had a sponsee that was ready to blow someone's anonymity about mm-hmm. something, and you said you would stand up. Your sponsor told mm-hmm. you should stand up in the meeting and say that. Now, if you knew someone was a predator, mm-hmm. would you stand up in the meeting and say this guy's a sexual predator?
No, but we should. But
how but why
would you
wouldn't
know?
You?
But how would you know? Some people show up in the meeting. You don't know they're on a court card till you sign that court card.
What's
that? When you sign court cards, you don't know whose court cards they are.
Right.
Does the whole? You know, I don't have a problem with telling people at the beginning of the meeting, if you have a court card, bring it up here. I'll sign it right now. If you don't want to stick around here, get out. You know.
Well, but the guy that I'm talking, one of the guys that I'm talking about mm-hmm. specifically, wasn't on a court card. He'd been going for a while. I mean,
he's got almost as much time as Mark.
And oh, now you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, now I know who you're talking about.
Well, the thing is, I would be, now this did not happen to me, mm-hmm. but if I saw a woman coming in with her kids, I might be inclined to take the woman aside and say, not why or any elaborate in any way, but just say, you know, make sure that your kids aren't around that guy. I might be inclined. I don't know. It didn't come up. I wasn't put into that position.
Well, for your mother who brought your kid to a meeting, you should probably make sure your kid is sitting next to you and under control, which is a whole other topic that we've covered before.
Right. But people who prey on children have ways of separating children from their parents.
Yeah.
I mean, so is that okay to take someone aside and warn them? I mean, aren't we supposed to watch out for each other?
Yeah, I think it's our duty.
So.
Wow, this went on a lot longer than it should have.
Well, and then we had a longer break, too. So, what would your final words on the subject be?
I don't know. It's kind of been several different little topics, all wrapped up in one little bundle.
It's a conundrum.
And whatnot. I don't know. I don't have any final words. Be excellent to each other. Party on, dude.
Mark.
What?
What are your final words?
Leave the newcomers alone. They have enough to worry about.
Oh, See, those were good exits. Now, why didn't I think of that?
I don't know.
I think court cards are okay. I think that what happened to that woman was tragic, but I think it. I think that is a needle in a haystack compared to the amount of people that get helped by coming in on court cards. Shelly, who's our friend back east?
So we have acceptable collateral damage?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that that guy would be. I think that guy would be just as likely to find someone who's not in the program and beat the shit. And we don't even hear about that. So
we're like a cross section of real life.
Yeah, we are. Okay. Shelly, who's our friend back east?
Bruce,
the other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
I think I'm having fibro fog.
Wow, now you know what that is.
Me neither.
Wait, where was I?
Yeah, okay, that's what
Bruce.
He runs the 12-Step online. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Mark.
Yes.
People are listening to the show.
They are. Well, we really appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
And if you're listening to the show in any way, shape, or form, thank you very much. We do ask if you go to our site, recovery101.net, to at least check in. And we do have some people who come in to like and comment.
Yes.
And that do listen other ways, but they come over to the show. And when you come over to the show and you click the like button and you leave comments and you add us to playlists and follow, when you follow, you'll get updates as to when the new shows are posted. And we ask that you just go up on our site and do all those things. And check out our sponsors.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Recovery101. You can also, I encourage people, if my friends list, again, even though I delete a bunch of people, is reaching critical mass again. But if you'd like, there is a fan page for Recovery 101. Just look up Recovery 101 Radio Show, and you can like that on Facebook. And that number's been slowly creeping up. There's also a group. And you can petition to join the group, and it's a cool little group.
You don't have to petition. You just click add group, and then one of us goes in and adds you.
Well, that's what I mean by petition. You have to go in and add group, and then someone has to
You don't have to get a court card signed to join the group.
No, you don't. Will you sign a digital court card?
No.
We've got email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. And if you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101. Rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley, who is the lead out music by?
It is by Strangely All Right, our new band of the month.
All right, everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.